Yankees Files podcast. We are back. I'm Will Harris, you're Alec Whipple, and the rest of you just watched a team for whom everyone declared the season over have a winning week in which they beat in a three-game series the best offense in baseball, the first-place team in the American League West, and only allowed, what was it, Whipple, five runs outside of extra innings? That's pretty good, I would say, for a team with a depleted pitching staff, for a team that did not get the best version of Gerrit Cole or of Luis Severino in the two games that they won. And look, you know, they found ways to win games. It was Billy McKinney doing it himself on Saturday, and it was a combined effort from a number of guys, including the guys that this offense will need to be productive if they want to win this evening or this afternoon, with DJ LeMahieu, Giancarlo Stanton, Harrison Bader all coming through with big hits at various times in the game. So Whipple, with that, how are you feeling? You know, it's been weird, rocky, unsettling. You know, we should probably have a conversation about run differential at some point, but you know, how are you feeling?
Well, I just watched the Colorado Rockies take a series in which they were heavily, heavily outscored. And that shows you that run differential is not as, in the long run, important for sure, but in any given period of time, not as important, because what's important are wins. And the Yankees got four of them, and they played six games, and they played two teams, one which was, you know, we've been led to believe is the, you know, the new up and coming favorite, the new hotness of the American League, and they didn't look that impressive. But honestly, it was more, I think, the Yankees pitching staff that carried them through this week. I think the Yankees pitching staff really shut down the Texas offense. The Yankees pitching staff kept them in games that they probably would not win otherwise. And we don't have to spend another week completely tearing apart the offense, because they did do just enough to win four of the six games. But a 4-2 week can be attributed to this team's incredible pitching. I mean, that's the, you know, stories 1, 2, and 3, I think, of the last six games. And what they showed us this week, I think, can leave us feeling good, because it's proof of concept of this team as currently built being able to survive and do more than that, play well in the, you know, non-Judge era, in the pre-Carlos Rodon, pre-Nestor Cortez returning. Just a depleted team right now, the proof of concept that they can succeed with the guys that they have. So if they go and struggle this week, I think it would be disappointing, because like last week, we didn't know if they could play well. You know, they had to prove it. They proved it this week. I mean, 4-2 is,
I'd say,
you'll take 2 out of 3 win or games winning every single time. So I think encouraged is the best way to feel, because while it wasn't, you know, as we learned in the middle of the week, or as we saw in the middle of the week, the damage isn't completely, you know, the bleeding hasn't been completely stopped. Like, they're going to have rough games. Obviously, series finale against the Mariners, Friday against the Rangers, not great games. But if they're going to win, you know, 2 out of every 3 games, you can withstand the third game being rough. And if in the long run they're going to be able to stay above 500 and play pretty good baseball and pitch like this, then you feel good about that proof of concept of a team that can stay afloat and potentially even expand, you know, where they were a little bit before some of the bigger guys come back, the biggest guy being Judge. So encouraged, I think, is the way I would feel.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I think, you know, there's no question that there are holes on this team with or without Judge. There's no question that without Judge, those holes are even more pronounced. But there was a question, as you said, of, you know, how successful this team could be in Judge's absence. And I think this week, answered that question, which is, as long as they get contributions from the right places and the offense picks up the pitching at times and the pitching picks up the offense at other times, they can win plenty of games. You know, I would contend that even Friday's game, in which they lost in extra innings, was an extremely winnable game. You know, you don't expect that Clay Holmes, who's been phenomenal, and Mike King, who has struggled, are going to combine to give up a bunch of runs all that often. You know, Clark Schmidt, for all of his struggles, has repeatedly been putting this team in positions to win. They haven't done it because they haven't been hitting, But, you know, he delivered another good performance. Ultimately, two runs didn't get it done in regulation, and King gives up the home run to Garcia in extras. You know, the back-to-back absolute clunkers from Domingo Germán definitely hurt. You know, the series in Boston was really, really bad, and there was a really bad Germán start that was a major part of that, and it was a bad way to end the Mariners series, absolutely. But you know what? Like, they already won the series. I know that every win matters, and you can't get complacent. And, you know, my dad's going to hear this, and he's going to say that I'm the problem, just the way the front office is the problem, and that, you know, I just want the team to be good enough. I don't care if they, you know, construct a team that's bound to reach its ceiling, or like whatever, however he would phrase it. But look, in the absence of the best player in baseball, to play this well against two teams that either are playing very well or should play pretty well, I have to feel good about it.
No, I mean, it has big, like, I hate to say it, it does have a little bit of a big 2021 Yankees vibe. And I kind of remember this being the case where, you know, they'd win the first two close and then they'd get blown out in the third game and everyone would say the series was a failure. And we had to come on the pod and say similar things, but it was true then and it's true now. Like, two out of three is a success, and the 2021 Yankees had moments of success. Like, the moments where they were struggling were not when they were winning two out of three games in a series and then getting blown out in the
no, it was when they were losing 12 out of 15.
It's gonna happen. Like, if you're starting Domingo Germán, you're going to expect that he's gonna throw a clunker sometimes. Obviously, it's not great, but like, you can withstand that when you're winning the other games. When you're not winning the other games, you get what happened last week, and then you have bigger questions. And if the Yankees went 1-5 this week, then this would be a totally different conversation. But they didn't. So I think absolutely it's not being complacent. It's just looking at the larger picture as opposed to freaking out about one game and then, you know, kind of being like, okay, that was expected for the other two games. And I feel like we're living in 2021 again, because I just vividly remember saying that same thing 2 years ago. But that team won 91, 92 games, one of the two. And you know, obviously not like you'd want this Yankees team to do better, but by no means is that, is that a bad result? Or at least if you're playing 1-5 every week, that's going to be a horrific team. And this team is not going to be doing that. They didn't do it this week, and I don't think they'll be doing it in the coming weeks.
Yeah, I think one thing that we can do is, I know we like to play the higher or lower game on this podcast, and we played it not very long ago when I put out that tweet in which I was talking about how productive guys have been to this point in the year and how productive I expect them to end up having been overall. And, you know, DJ LeMahieu and Giancarlo Stanton both were involved in pivotal plays in today's game. Their respective WRC pluses are still 85 and 73. Do you know what kind of ride it is going to be that we're going to go on if they're both going to get their WRC plus to the 105 to 110 range? Like, do you know how much fun we are going to have while that happens? If it happens, as I've predicted it would, I think, you know, probably even higher for Stanton. Like, it's stuff like that that just gives me so much confidence in this team. And, you know, last week things were dark. They were dire. You know, people were devastated on the internet. And I think some of those same people are devastated this week, because this week really throws a wrench in their narratives about how bad the team is. But, you know, how I maintain that Anthony Rizzo, who seems like he may have turned it around this week, DJ LeMahieu and Giancarlo Stanton are going to be good hitters. I think we have some, there's some room, some headroom for Gleyber Torres as well. Harrison Bader, I think, is probably about who he is. But if Harrison Bader is the fifth best hitter on the non-judge having Yankees, excluding Billy McKinney and Jake Bowers, who I think warrant their own separate discussion, then the team is good. But right now, Harrison Bader is the second or third best hitter on the non-Aaron Judge having Yankees, and that doesn't fly. Like, am I crazy for thinking that? Am I wrong for thinking that? Am I missing something about this analysis? Are guys who I'm expecting to play better actually doomed to play poorly? Or is it the case that the Yankees are actually a pretty well-constructed team with pretty good players that is missing the best player in baseball, but could still be very good in his absence?
Yeah, I mean, I think the concerning thing for me is that you might expect Stanton, LeMahieu, Rizzo, et cetera, to play better. But, you know, you're going to have a regression from Billy McKinney or Bowers. Or, you know, maybe it's not as big as we expect.
I mean, Jake Bowers, I think.
It's kind of, yeah,
it wouldn't, that's fair. It wouldn't be crazy if Jake Bowers were a 110 WRC plus guy, which is what he's been to this point. McKinney, yes, absolutely going to regress. But as long as some of his regression is offset by the improvements that I think we both expect from Stanton and from DJ specifically, is it that hard to deal with him going from a 159 WRC plus to a 95 WRC plus? I think probably not, especially because there are avenues not to play Billy McKinney while that's happening.
Right. I think there's a difference for me in that the offense we saw today is workable. Like, if you're going to score five runs and you're going to, I mean, obviously they didn't homer, but guys were getting extra base hits.
Yeah, they hit like six doubles, I think.
Yeah, like that's workable. And so there's a difference to me in that offense versus, you know, the offense that we saw the 2 days prior where nobody was hitting and, you know, you had one home run and that was the entirety of your offense. So,
yeah,
like, I don't think we're asking for, I guess my point is, we're not asking for the moon. Like, we're not asking for, you know, peak 2022 or like 2019, you know, whatever that is. You're just asking for something like today, and that's going to win you most of the games. And to get to that point, you don't even need the best case scenarios. You just need guys probably to slightly improve, or one or two guys, you know, of like the Stanton, Rizzo, DJ, Torres group, maybe one or two of them to get really hot, which probably will happen. I mean, they're all good hitters. Like,
it would be more surprising if it didn't happen, I would say.
It would, because it's already so surprising that the Yankees have had such bad BABIP luck, are getting such bad batted ball outcomes. And for that to not even turn around slightly would be surprising. And all it has to do is turn around slightly because the pitching staff is that good. And that's what I keep coming back to. It doesn't, I think people expect all of a sudden, you know, either there's going to be a mass offensive breakout or the season's over. And I don't think either of those is going to happen. I think the offense can slightly improve. You know that this pitching staff is that good, and that's going to get you 4 and 2 weeks and spades. And I think that's totally reasonable until Judge comes back or even past that. Like, obviously there are more offensive upgrades that need to be made in third base and left field, whatever. But I guess the point is you don't need that much. And there have been Yankees teams that have needed that much and more, and this team doesn't. So even if you're not a best case scenario kind of person, even if you don't think Stanton and DJ are going to rebound and get something closer to their career numbers, they just have to hit better for even a short period of time. And the Yankees will win more of their games than, you know, they're going to lose. Like, that's just how good this pitching is. The fact that their bullpen ERA is about 0.2 runs better than the next team in baseball, and the drop-off into the teams after that is pretty massive. I mean, look at the ends of the games. Like, the Friday's game was such an outlier because the Yankees have been locking those games down pretty consistently for the entirety of the season. So,
and let's not forget, that bullpen is adding Ian Hamilton this week and is going to add Jonathan Loaisiga before the season is over.
Right, plus you assume there will be another reliever coming at some point. Like, that just seems how Brian Cashman operates at the trade deadline. Get no-name reliever X, and he's going to be a key contributor down the stretch. So it's just funny to me that I think everybody wants to be mad and everybody expects a lot. And obviously, like, this is a very talented team. They can deliver that, but they don't need to, because the pitching time and time again has proven that they'll be able to carry. And I don't think that will change. It certainly is not going to change in Oakland and St. Louis, you know, teams that have really struggled this year. But even in the future, I mean, the July schedule, as we've talked about, gets a lot easier. The Yankees have taken advantage of they played through a tough schedule. They kept their heads above water. They're going to have some series with teams that aren't that competitive. So they've had a lot of off days in June. They've been able to enjoy the fact that Aaron Judge has been injured and they've been sitting out once every 6 or 7 days. So like all those little things, I think, add up. And with the expanded playoffs, like people need to realize that, you know, they I hate to say get to the playoffs, but at this point, like, you're just trying to win as many games as you can. You know you have a playoff spot, and you know the formula for success is there and proven. It doesn't take a massive offensive resurgence, which could still happen. I just don't think it's required.
Yeah, I could not agree more. So, Whipple, today before the game, there was a lot of speculation that maybe we had reached the end of the Josh Donaldson era in New York. And that was brought about by missed media availability, a conversation in Aaron Boone's office, a third straight day of being benched, not being seen on the bench during the game, a number of kind of weird factors that all came together. And after the game, Donaldson did speak to the media and he basically said, look, Boone and I were just talking ball. That's a normal thing for us to do. It happens frequently. We have a lot of conversations. Obviously, I want to be out there playing, but, you know, I'm going to play whatever role I can play. I'm not sure what to make of this whole thing, because one thing that you have been very good about is pointing out that we should trust the Yankees' actions and not their words. So no matter how many times they say we love Estevan Floreal, he's not on the 40-man, he's in AAA. They just said, both Boone and Cashman, that they're going to find a lot of time for Josh Donaldson to play. And I can't square that with he has the awful game on Thursday. He then sits for the entire series against the Rangers. So, you know, that to me suggests, hey, if we're playing a good team, we don't see Josh Donaldson as contributing to us playing well against that team. Then there's all this weird stuff. And then, you know, Donaldson obviously says it's nothing. Boone obviously says it's nothing because, of course, you know, even if it weren't nothing, they wouldn't tell us what it was. It's starting to feel like Gallo-esque or Hicksian to me, this whole situation where, okay, suddenly he's not playing. He's getting put into kind of bad and weird situations, like the pinch hit in the 10th inning on Friday. He's, you know, not around the team. There's clearly this like weird atmosphere surrounding Josh Donaldson right now. How do you read this situation? Do you think that, you know, as one person suggested to us on Twitter, maybe they're just benching him at home so he doesn't hear the boos and then he'll be back in the lineup on the road, which was kind of how the Hicks tenure ended. He played in the road trip when they went to Cincinnati, and then that was it. Do you think that it really is a whole lot of nothing and the plan hasn't changed with Josh Donaldson? How do you read what all went down in the past few days?
Yeah, it's so weird because how can it be a whole lot of nothing? I mean, he's been bad. I mean, he's been horrific. And yeah. I saw on Twitter, you know, the cherry picked kind of his. I think one of the Yankees reporters asked what the impetus was for Aaron Boone to find something good about him. And Aaron Boone's, or this whoever was representing the Yankees, said his barrel rate was like 7th or 37th in the league or something. And obviously that's like, it's all cover. Like I doubt the Yankees are going to keep playing him if he, you know, is this bad and has a high barrel percentage. It's all media spin. And obviously we've seen a lot of that recently with Hicks and Gallo, as you said. The difference for me is that, I mean, I don't know what your thought is, but it seemed like Hicks and Gallo, maybe we'll get to this point, but like they're kind of like an open rebellion by the end. Like they did not seem like they were okay with what was going on. And again, maybe we just haven't reached that point with Donaldson, but Donaldson and Boone walked out and it seemed like they were on the same page and Donaldson was still going to be the starting third baseman. And I just feel like we never really found, we never heard that with Hicks and Gallo. Like it was more, oh, we're going to find the spots that work for him. And, you know, we just wanted to get him out of there. Like, we wanted to protect him. It was kind of stuff that you kind of could see the writing on the wall. And I thought we were going to get something like that. Like, we had a conversation and we're, you know, we talked about his role, but it seemed like maybe, again, it's just spin that, yeah. And we'll probably see what happens this week. That Boone just doubled down on a full-time commitment to Donaldson. But how do you square that again? Like you said, with him sitting for three straight games against a team where they, you know, if they really had as much faith in him, they could have used him. And I don't know. It's weird in that, like, it's such a difference between how they've used him in the last 3 days and how what they've said about him. And usually I feel like you could kind of see which way they're leaning. But in this one, it's just so, like, it's, I mean, imagine if he sits for a four straight day and then they say we're still committed to him. I'm like, it's bizarre. I don't know. Like, what do you think is your read on its comparison to Hicks and Gallo?
So I see what you're saying about it being different from the Hicks and Gallo situations. I think they had more cover in the Hicks and Gallo situations, you know, with Hicks, there's the question of, oh, well, you know, we have all these outfielders, if IKF and Oswaldo Cabrera are outfielders, and, you know, he has the platoon thing. Gallo, there was also the platoon thing. With Donaldson, it's harder to come up with those fake excuses, but I do think, like, on the post game, when Donaldson spoke to the media, he did mention that he'll accept whatever role the team sees for him, or something to that effect. And that even doesn't square with Boone saying, I'm going to play him all the time. That seems to suggest, to the extent that you believe Donaldson was actually giving hints about what was discussed, that seems to suggest that, you know, Boone was not telling him, I'm going to play you all the time. But the bottom line, as you said, is they had this conversation after the lineup came out, and for the third straight day, Josh Donaldson wasn't in it.
Right. And they weren't talking about baseball stories. I mean,
Donaldson was not saying, hey, you know, in 2015 when I won the MVP and it was, you know, one of the worst MVP voting showings of all time, and it obviously should have been Trout, here's what we were talking about, or here's what our approach was in Toronto. That's not what it was.
Yeah, no, that's not the time to remember some guys is when you're supposed to be giving your pregame press conference.
He was not in there talking about all his fun times with Munenori Kawasaki and Mark DeRosa. But really, like, I think at the end of the day, we do have to take the Yankees at their actions rather than taking them at their word. And their actions recently tell me Josh Donaldson's at the end of his rope. Mm-hmm. You know, even when they sat DJ for a little while for, what was it, 2 games, they said, look, you know, we got to put him in a situation where he can, you know, figure out this mechanical change that he's going through. We want him to be able to bring that into the game, et cetera, et cetera. That is not, like, they've alluded a little bit to Donaldson's working through some stuff, but if that were the case, you wouldn't also be touting, hey, we think he's been having good at bats, he's been hitting the ball hard, here's his barrel rate. Like, that's a very different thing. And they kept him out of the lineup 3 days in a row. Like, I also think there's a very loud crowd on Yankees Twitter that has adopted this refrain, and that refrain is there's no accountability with this team, and it seems like those people just mean that they want to see guys benched for in-game mistakes more frequently. That's the best that I can interpret it, but I have in each of the last 3 days asked that crowd to tell me how it can be the case that there's no accountability with this team if Josh Donaldson sat either, you know, Friday after a really bad game, Thursday, Saturday, 2 days in a row, today, 3 days in a row. And You know, I haven't gotten an answer, Whipple. Does that surprise you as little as it surprises me that these people who just want to be outraged about any move the team makes don't have an answer for me when the team does the thing that they say the team will never do?
Right. And I think it doesn't. I think it really comes down to, like, this will be an interesting week because the quote-unquote accountability, which I think is overblown, like, we'll see. Is Donaldson going to play every game and struggle and still be in the lineup? Like, maybe, but, like, what happens after that? I mean, if they're – people are thinking about this. People are paid to think about this. People don't just sit on their hands and, you know, the Yankees front office and coaching staff and say, okay, great, we're just going to keep running them out there. Like, obviously, this is part of, you know, what people might not want to call accountability, but some level of accountability. And yeah, I agree. I think it's the logical thing that should have been done. I do differ a little bit because I feel like, and like, I think we are watching humans interact with other humans in real time. And like, nobody is perfect. And every time managers and reporters interact, like, there's not like, okay, that was the perfect answer, okay, that was a terrible answer. Like, people are just trying to answer questions. I do, and they do it to the best of their ability. I feel like Aaron Boone, maybe, you know, you can also weigh in on this, I do feel like he has kind of been a little overly defensive. Like, I don't know if he needs to completely look at every single mistake the team has made or every single time something happens and double down on, you know, like, I think there's a line between saying that the guys messed up, saying that the guys did everything perfectly, and kind of just being somewhere in the middle. Like, we've seen managers give non-answers before, and I feel like that's what I usually expect. It seems like Aaron Boone has kind of taken the opposite tact and really stuck every single limb out to defend everyone at every possibility. I think so. It has become a little more apparent to me. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I just feel like there's a little he's a little overly defensive right now, and I think he's...
I don't agree with that at all. I think that there's a narrative about Boone that he is overly defensive, but the only thing he could do to buck that narrative would be to publicly rip guys, which he's not going to do.
But I think there's a middle ground. I don't think you have to
but
publicly rip guys.
What's the difference between the middle ground and what he's... like? He was asked about the inning in which Rizzo and Donaldson both made errors in the Thursday game. And he said, you know, they got to be better. I know it's a talking point, but those are two Gold Glove guys that you're talking about. Like, how is that not the middle ground? That shouldn't happen. I know you want me to be mad about it, but here's why I'm not worried about it as an ongoing concern. Like, what else would be the middle ground?
Well, I think just, like, maybe that's an example of where the middle ground actually was kind of found.
Does he not do exactly that is my question.
Like, I mean, I think on the Talkin' Yanks segment.
Okay, so the Talkin' Yanks segment's a great example. They asked about Donaldson getting picked off, right?
Yeah.
And they asked about Rizzo making outs on the bases.
Okay.
And Jake said to Boone, you know, these guys aren't base dealers. What are they doing getting picked off? And Boone said, we don't like them getting picked off, but they're doing something. Obviously, something he's not going to tell us about their base running approach. But he said, we don't like them getting picked off, but also they're doing a thing that we want them to be doing. Like, what if that's not middle ground? What is middle ground?
Well, okay, mate. Like, I just think that, like, it's okay to publicly criticize guys sometimes. Maybe that's how I feel about it. Like,
okay, so I think Files podcast guest SRector7 at SRector7 on Twitter, Steve Rector, made a good point about this on Twitter this week because there was a certain Twitter user who was suggesting that if Aaron Boone publicly ripped his players, they would play better, which is an insane thing to suggest, and I'm not saying that that it's your contention at all. And what Steve said is this is by design. Like, it's by design that it's what the manager is saying that's bothering you. Aaron Boone is out there when he's talking to the media about his player shortcomings to be a meat shield. He is out there to take all the bullets to say, okay, I know this bothers you. I know this went poorly. And he fields all those questions and he answers them because that's by design. The Yankees don't want their manager out there ripping his players. I think that that's probably a big part of the reason that they went from Girardi to Boone, because they didn't like the way Girardi talked about the guys or talked to the guys. And we know that Girardi lost the clubhouse to a certain extent. I think that Boone is doing exactly what the Yankees want them to do. And it's not an accident that it's Boone's conduct with the media that bothers you. You know, Boone has not been out there saying, man, Giancarlo Stanton really sucks right now. He needs to play better. Giancarlo Stanton has been out there saying, I suck right now. I need to play better. But it's not in the plan for Boone to say, you know what? Yeah, that guy, that former MVP who I know is going to hit, he sucks. Like that, I understand that people want it because it'll make them feel better because they feel like the team is playing poorly right now. But I think it's wrong to say that Boone does anything except take a middle ground or even maybe just take a longer time horizon. Like Boone, every time something goes wrong, Boone's answer is that shouldn't have gone wrong. Some version of that shouldn't have gone wrong. I'm not worried about it moving forward. Which is like, if you believe in the construction of the team, that's what you should say. It's what I come on the podcast and say every week, basically. And you think it's right when I do it, but wrong when Boone does it? Like, I'm just not following.
No, I think there's a difference in my mind between ripping someone for struggling and ripping people for making mental errors and having inexcusable conduct on the base paths and the field. And I'm not even saying ripping those people. I think if Boone went up there and said, Stanton is doing terrible, this is like hurting our team, like, that's not okay to me.
So what should Boone have said about Josh Donaldson getting picked off?
I just think making it clear that, like, that's not okay. Maybe it's not even a media thing. Maybe it's an in-the-clubhouse thing.
Well, you don't know what's going on in the clubhouse. So you're mad about Aaron Boone's public comments. You think that he is too defensive. How should he act? What should he have said about that?
I think you just have to signal that it's not acceptable.
Did he signal that it's acceptable?
He signals that it's okay, it will happen, and we're obviously can't. But like from this team, like this stuff happens a lot, and I get that. Like there are ways for it not to matter. There are ways for it to, you know, if they score more runs, obviously the defensive stuff doesn't matter. But like you have to admit that like there is a certain air of, you know, everybody's protecting each other on this team, and I'm not talking about offensive struggles or pitching struggles. I'm talking about like the boneheaded mistakes that happen every once in a while. I know you're not going to agree with that, but like, it's
I don't
simply
think I even understand the point you're making. Like you said you don't want Aaron Boone to rip guys publicly, or that at least it wouldn't take him ripping guys publicly to make you feel differently about the way he talks about these things. But you can't give an example other than the way he's already acted of the way you would want him to act.
The way he's already acted is like the most, I guess maybe a little more forceful than the way he's already acted, saying like that's not acceptable.
So what does that accomplish? Because do you think that Boone then goes into the clubhouse? So you seem to perceive Boone as a guy who's saying like, look, you know, guy gets thrown out on the bases when a ball is caught right in front of him. That he should see, like, you know, even maybe the Glaber play today. Like, your perception is that Boone goes to the media and says, look, you know, and kind of shrugs his shoulders.
Okay.
Do you think that Boone then goes into the clubhouse and says to Glaber Torres, you know, and that's it? Or do you think Boone tells Glaber Torres that that's not an acceptable way to run the bases? Because only if it's, like, only if what he's saying in the media is exactly what he's saying in the clubhouse, does this even matter, right?
Okay, so why does this stuff keep happening then?
Because a manager telling a guy that he made a bad play doesn't make him not make the play. Like, I bet Boone told IKF that he, like, should be better fielding balls that are hit in front of him when he's in center field. That didn't make him catch the ball in the game on Friday that ultimately lost them the game. Like, what do you think? I'm so bad. What do you think the job of a manager is? What do you think the impact of a manager is? Like, unless you think that Boone is in the clubhouse going, you know what, guys, everything is fine. I don't take issue with a single play, a single pitch, a single swing. I'm just going to let you guys figure it out. And I think a lot of people do think Boone operates that way. Then I don't know what you want. Like, I guess I just have more confidence that Boone does not say only what he says to the media, to the players, and that there are things that go on in the clubhouse that we're unaware of. It feels like you have to reject the possibility that that's going on in order to level this criticism.
Yeah, I think I just probably, and I mean, that kind of is how I view managers, where I think you just view them as fungible and replaceable, and nobody makes that much of an impact. And I don't think that adding manager X over manager Y is going to win you this more games, but I think manager has a real part in setting the culture and tone of a clubhouse. And while I don't think the Yankees have a bad clubhouse, obviously I don't think that. I think there's a lack of accountability sometimes. And that's
not
accountability.
But isn't the problem with your model that we could only, like, the main assumption that's driving this is that we know what goes on in the clubhouse based on the way Boone talks about it outside of the clubhouse.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we can just say we don't know what goes on inside the clubhouse.
I mean, obviously we don't know what goes on in the clubhouse. And I think you would have to have some additional piece of information to say that this happens because of the way Aaron Boone manages the team. Like, and I think, like, isn't Buck Showalter the perfect counterfactual here? He is the old baseball guy. He doesn't buy into analytics. He's, you know, not afraid to speak his mind and rip his players and whatever. And yet they let the Phillies win today on two bases loaded hit by pitches. And, you know, Nimmo and Lindor let a ball drop directly between them on a pop-up on Friday or Saturday. Like,
but I think Buck is the complete counterfactual, where he's like asleep at the wheel. And I don't think Buck is a good manager. And I think Buck would be a clear downgrade from Boone. I am by and large an Aaron Boone supporter, especially with tactical decisions. But this is the one thing that kind of always has irked me, is that I just feel like the culture that is created has had a lack of accountability, not for poor performance, but for the kind of mistakes that we're seeing.
So what
do I know that?
What would it look like? What would show you that either you're wrong about this or the things you don't like have changed?
That Aaron Boone comes out today and doesn't say we're going to play Josh Donaldson every day.
But whether Aaron Boone says we're going to play Josh Donaldson every day or we're never going to play Josh Donaldson or I'd like to marry Josh Donaldson, if he doesn't put him in the lineup, who cares?
Which is why I don't think it has a big impact on game performance. But I'm saying when you say that kind of stuff, it sends the wrong message.
To whom? To you, the fan?
Okay,
because
we'll see if Aaron Boone is
going to... sending the wrong message to you, the fan, then as Steve pointed out on Twitter... It's probably working the way the Yankees want it to work.
So, well, if Josh Donaldson isn't in the lineup for the next four games, then obviously it just makes him look stupid for saying that. But if he is, then I think it goes back to the lack of accountability in
that
aspect.
But what about the three games that he was just benched for?
Well, it's a reset. You know, it's just a mental reset or whatever they said.
I don't think, like, do we even have an analog? They didn't. When they did it for DJ, we knew he was specifically making a mechanical change, and it wasn't an entire series.
Mm-hmm.
But for Donaldson, where they're insisting that the things he's doing will work, meaning there shouldn't be a mechanical change, and they didn't say it's just a reset. Like, I feel like you are reading a lot into Aaron Boone's conduct that isn't there. And I've been called a Boone apologist. And did you notice that shill was the new word being thrown around on Twitter this week?
Yeah, I did notice that.
That's a weird one. And we have not jointly discussed this, but I think you would agree that we're not being paid by the Yankees to gas them up publicly.
I wish we were.
But if they want to pay us, you'll see just how big of Yankees apologists we can be. And if you think I'm an Aaron Boone apologist or stan or shill now, oh my goodness, you're not ready for what I would do if we were really getting paid to be positive about them. Oh my gosh.
No, but I think the point I'm trying to make is that I don't think it affects the game performance. Obviously, they're winning games. Like, this might just be a personal concern. I think people have taken it to the level where they are saying this negatively affects the performance of the Yankees and is going to, you know, ruin the season because of Aaron Boone. And I think you are definitely much more of a Boone supporter than I am. I've come around on him for sure, but it is stuff like what has happened recently that kind of annoys me, because while maybe it's the intention that Boone is trying to cover for his players, I think he just takes it too far sometimes, where he doesn't properly address poor performance in the way that maybe I feel that he should.
But
I don't know what goes on in the clubhouse.
Does he have to address poor performance publicly?
He's the leader of the Yankees. Like, I think leader sets a big tone for culture. Like, that's just how I feel about managers.
But do you think the Yankees get their cues on what the team culture should be from what Aaron Boone says in a 3-minute press conference on the Yes Network, or from the way that, like, Aaron Boone and Aaron Judge and Anthony Rizzo and Giancarlo Stanton act behind closed doors? Like, that's...
But we don't know if it's different or not. We're just going off what we see. So
we don't know if it's different or not, but we know that the actions that guys are taking, or the actions that Boone specifically is taking, are different from the actions that he suggests he will take in his press conferences. And I think that seems to me to be enough evidence that you can't take what he says to the media and take it to the bank.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you're probably right, but I don't think that you have the evidence either way. And I feel like Aaron Boone is a player's manager for sure, as you said. Maybe that's just what I think a manager should be, and I don't know who that manager is. It's definitely not Buck Showalter. But there are, there's a consistent through line of them making sloppy plays, and that bothers me. Like, that bothers me more than them scoring, no runs or, one run in a game. And maybe it's just frustration with that and frustration with the way it's handled in the media. And again, could be by design, but I wish this team would figure it out. And I know you're going to say, well, it's all, in-game situations. It doesn't impact the game. We don't know what's being said behind closed doors, but it looks bad. And if I was on the team, I would think it would look bad too.
It's honestly amazing that the guy who comes on here when they go 1-5 in a week and says no team looks good when they're playing poorly now comes out and says, man, I wish the manager would do something about how bad they look when they're playing poorly.
But it's not the striking out. It's not hitting. It's the sloppy plays. I mean, they
exist.
Well,
do the sloppy plays happen when you're playing well? No.
Today they won and there was a sloppy play.
There was a base running mistake in the first inning of a game that they ended up winning. I think they looked really good for a lot of this game, except Gerrit Cole, ironically enough.
Okay. Now you're just taking shots at me. But
did you
fair.
Think Gerrit Cole looked good today? Cole grinded today. And I'm sure that in what felt like 90 degrees with super high humidity, it was not easy for him to throw whatever it was, 110 pitches or so. And he got himself out of some great jams. But I'm not taking shots at you by saying Gerrit Cole is the only guy who... Like, yeah, Gleyber Torres made a base running mistake. I don't know what you want. He also hit a double. Like, I don't know what you want from me. Would you rather I say Gleyber Torres and Gerrit Cole both look bad today? Would that be better?
Yes.
Okay.
Appreciated.
Now I could be the manager of the Yankees.
There you go. You've said it in the media.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the accountability that... that we're looking for. But wait, were you serious? I don't want to gloss over this. Were you serious when you said the only way the Josh Donaldson situation will truly count as accountability is if he doesn't play at all this week?
Well, I think it's just confused. I'm confused by what actually happened. Like, I think it's a very confusing situation.
He had an awful, sloppy game and then got benched for three games, But in order to fit the narrative that there's no accountability, him being benched for three games can't count as accountability.
But I just don't understand why Boone just doesn't say that. Like, what is going to happen if he says that?
Boone has never, ever said that a guy is losing playing time because of poor performance. Even at the beginning of 2021, when Gary lost the starting catching job to Higashioka, he said that Higashioka got the job because of how well he was playing. Like, think about the number of times that they briefly moved Aroldis Chapman out of the closer role. It was never, we can't trust him to be the closer. It was, we got to get him into some comfortable situations. Same right. thing with Clay Holmes earlier this year. There have been plenty of times in which we know exactly what the intent of a move they are making is, even if they don't tell us that that's the thing. Like, are we going to say Aroldis Chapman was never taken out of the closer role because Aaron Boone never said Aroldis Chapman isn't our closer anymore? Are we going to act like Chad Green was trusted and high leverage forever just because they never said Chad Green isn't a high leverage guy and they just made him an opener? Like, that's the standard that you're applying here, is unless Aaron Boone says Josh Donaldson is being benched for bad and sloppy play, then Josh Donaldson must have been benched for some other reason. Even though you knew when Clay Holmes was taken out of the closer role, why he was taken out of the closer role and that he was taken out of the closer role, you knew it for Aroldis Chapman. You knew it for Chad Green. So why is it different now?
Well, I think there's a difference in that Josh Donaldson is going to get back the job without proving anything. Like, I think that's the difference in my mind. He's not going to, I don't know, like, maybe, you know, if he plays like once in a while, starts hitting better, and then was able to reclaim the third baseman job, I think that's a different scenario. But in this case, it's going to be treated as he got a mental reset. I mean, Clay Holmes had to work his way back. Chapman had to work his way back. Gary had to work his way back. And that doesn't seem to be the case here.
But
that's the difference for me.
But you're saying that doesn't seem to be the case when the three most recent data points for Josh Donaldson are bench, bench, bench. You've just right. decided well, then I'm that saying, he's going like, to get the job back.
Well, like, that's what I'm saying. We need to see what's actually going to happen. I don't think it's a crazy hot take to say putting Josh Donaldson back in the starting lineup every day would mean there is a lack of accountability. Like, that's... Maybe but we just disagree on that.
I think it's a hot take to say that it invalidates whatever message was being sent from them benching him for 3 days.
Possibly, because they walked out today. Okay, obviously, again, we don't know what was being said in the media versus the clubhouse, but I'm going to assume, based on what he said, that he's telling the truth. I'm going to assume people are telling the truth, that he's going to be the starting third baseman and play every day. Maybe that will be different, but... That wasn't when Clay Holmes wasn't sat for 3 days and then told he was going to be the closer again. I mean, it's being handled differently. I think differently than the times that it was handled, you know, similar situations before. And usually I feel like, again, we can get a read on these things and maybe we'll have a different answer in a week. But I just don't know right now. And, you know, confusion about what that means, I think we're only going to be able to tell once we see what happens.
Yeah, I don't understand how it is possible that the read we're getting on this thing would not be the 3 days that he was just benched, but whatever you say. So you know what? Here's a good thought experiment. Hal Steinbrenner sells you the New York Yankees. And along with it, he gives you the entire Steinbrenner family net worth. So you have all the financial flexibility that Hal Steinbrenner currently has. And you're in charge of the Yankees. Okay. In order to not put you in the situation of having to consider the impact of mid-season changes, assuming the Yankees don't win the World Series this year, would you fire Aaron Boone?
No, I don't think I would fire Aaron Boone. And that's different than what
so
I would have said
before. So then the accountability thing doesn't matter.
Why doesn't it matter?
I can say that important to you.
No, I can say that somebody should improve something without saying it's a complete deterrent to wanting him as a manager. I think that's totally fair.
Well, you've described it as an element of his character.
I'm saying I don't necessarily agree that's how the best leaders would construct their clubhouse, build culture. I'm not saying it's a complete disqualifier, but I think it's an element of him as a manager that I don't appreciate. And I think is probably not as big of a deal as the positives he brings. And compared to other managers, for sure, we've seen that there are a lot of other worse managers. I think it's okay to criticize someone and not think that they're disqualified from their job. Like that's my point. Like I'm not, and this has never been Aaron Boone should be fired. I think that's a basic take, but there are things that he does that frustrate me at times, whether it's deserved or not. And I think this Donaldson scenario will be an interesting test of what will actually happen. Like, because I guess there's two ways that it will unfold. Either he plays every day and what he's saying in the media is what he is saying to Donaldson, or he doesn't play and we go back to, okay, we're just going to trust the actions and not follow the words, and I was upset over nothing. And to me, that those are the two scenarios.
I don't think that's the case. Like, what about the other scenario in which he plays a little bit, but he doesn't play a lot because he's not playing well?
But that's like, okay, then that's different than what he said to the media, which is he's going to play every day.
What he said to the media.
So that's, I'm saying that would be me thinking that, okay.
I don't think he said he's going to play every day either. He said he's going to play a lot.
Okay, but like that obviously had an indication of, you know, playing the majority of the time.
I think a lot is up to interpretation. I think Oswaldo Cabrera has played a lot of baseball this year.
Okay. All right. I mean, we can get into it. We can interpret however we want. It will be interesting.
We should have
to see
someone
what happens.
Who's never listened to this podcast before listen to this episode and tell us who they think the future lawyer is.
Well, if I'm saying what a lot is, I would assume that if he's playing a lot, he's playing 5 out of every 7 games. And I guess we'll see what happens, whether it's over or under that.
Yeah, I really don't think he's going to play a lot of baseball for the New York Yankees moving forward. But that's just me.
But you would have said, I mean, you would have said that a month ago, and he's played a lot of baseball.
I don't
so
think I would
that's,
have said
there's
that
frustration
ago.
Here. When he came back from the IL, I think you would have said he would have played a lot of baseball. And I would say I don't think he will. And I would have been wrong.
I
think there's frustration here. Like, I think you are glossing over some frustration with Josh Donaldson.
My frustration with Josh Donaldson?
No, I'm just saying in general. Like,
I'm frustrated with Josh Donaldson. I think the Yankees are frustrated with Josh Donaldson. Otherwise, they wouldn't have just benched him for 3 straight games. And I don't think, like, if the Yankees are playing meaningful games in October, which currently they are in a position to be doing, I don't think Josh Donaldson's going to be playing in them. I, in fact, will say I would be surprised if Josh Donaldson is even eligible to be on the Yankees playoff roster.
Okay. We'll see. One of my preseason bold predictions was one of Donaldson and Hicks was going to be playing a lot of at-bats down the stretch, so I only got one for two left to carry that out.
Yeah,
but
I hope you're wrong. Well, Hicks might be getting them just for a
my Clark
team.
Schmidt prediction, though, looking really
the
good.
Clark Schmidt prediction is looking, unfortunately, really good. Although, Carlos Rodon pitched a scoreless 4 innings in Somerset this afternoon. He's probably just one more rehab start and then back with the team, which would put him on pace for probably, I guess, that Orioles series just before the All-Star break, which would be
that's
exciting.
What people are saying is July 5th.
If you could have, going into the All-Star break, your top 3 in your rotation is Gerrit Cole, Luis Severino, and Carlos Rodon, that's when we start to get excited.
That's
man.
What everybody's saying. They need a starting pitcher. I just don't feel that urgency.
His name's Carlos Rodon.
And Nestor Cortes. Like,
and Nestor Cortes.
I don't feel that urgency. I think this team will be fine in starting pitching.
Yeah, I agree. So Whipple, things got a little contentious there. Are we good?
I mean, I would say this is like the second most contentious period in our history. So
after the bad
situation, that one stand, like this one, I don't worry about, you know, because I think there's not a lot to say. I mean, it's obviously it's not player analysis. It's just like what do you think a manager should do? Which we've talked about before, mm-hmm. and we'll talk about again. Benintendi was like the saga that never ended. So I think we're good. I think we're good.
You think he ever got vaccinated?
Probably not.
Yeah, but I agree.
Yeah, thank God. Again, my heel turn on that was timed well, because geez, that would be a rough contract to have. Imagine if you needed a left fielder, but like also you had Andrew Benintendi, so you physically could not get a left fielder. Like, at least left field is open right now.
That's so good. That's so good. Yeah. Okay. Well, this has been very interesting. Whipple, I'd like to talk to you about your confidence in this team. They just had a 4-2 week. They are ahead of such teams as the Astros, the Blue Jays, the Angels, the Reds, who just won like 11 out of 13 games. The Phillies, who just went to the World Series, the Brewers, who are leading their division, the Twins, who are leading their division, the Padres, who were supposed to be amazing. The Yankees, like, there aren't a ton of teams out there with more than 43 wins. In fact, there are only six, and only three of them are in the American League. With that said, you know, it's pretty clear the Yankees have underperformed to this point. We still don't know when Aaron Judge is coming back. The offense has looked anemic in his absence. On the other hand, Ian Hamilton will be back this week. Carlos Rodon will be back next week. We know Nestor Cortez is going to be throwing on a mound soon. We don't know how optimistic or pessimistic to be about Aaron Judge. We're potentially seeing some signs of life from DJ LeMahieu, from Giancarlo Stanton, from Anthony Rizzo as well. What do you rate your confidence out of 10 in this team?
So last week, I think you were pretty down on everything. And I took the you can't predict baseball approach. Gerrit Cole's on the mound. We're going to stop a losing streak. And that worked out pretty well. Like, I was very happy with my somewhat, not really bold, but my John Sterling-esque, let's see what happens prediction. And that's what I love about baseball, because like, you just don't know sometimes. And
you don't. That's
you
true.
You didn't know. And now we know that, like I said at the open, there's proof of concept of the judgeless Yankees. And how are they going to survive in the next month? We know how it can happen. And it wasn't a fluke. Like, that, the way they won games this week, although 1-0 wins seem pretty tenuous, like, not a fluke at all. I think that's how good this pitching staff can be. And we saw today how the offense can do enough. And, like, it is possible for them at their worst to do enough. And I, again, feel like there is more here. And that's all I kind of needed last week. I think we obviously aren't going to get Judge back for a little while, but there are other guys coming. There will be trade acquisitions, and eventually there'll be Aaron Judge. I think this week is a great chance for the Yankees to win some pretty easy games, but it's, again, not about the wins and the losses. It's about how you feel about the team. And for me, the encouragement that I felt from the proof of concept about them being able to win games and win series in this, you know, stretch of the season without Judge is encouraging. Like, I'm going to go up to an 8 simply because I feel a little more comfortable than I did a few days ago and last week. And after a 4-2 week and knocking off a pretty good team in 2 out of 3 games, like, I think that's warranted to be at an 8. Thank you.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you, the fans.
I should not be allowed to have access to this type of technology. I agree with you. I was very down last week. I said I needed the offense to play better, which the offense didn't play great. But to your point, I think what the team showed us this week is an ability to play complete enough games to win. And that is potentially, to me, more encouraging than just them putting up like 8 runs or something in a game. I love the impact that Harrison Bader makes on the lineup. Even just being a league average hitter, like, his defense is so good. His offense tends to be clustered, which is, you know, makes it pretty exciting. His speed adds an interesting dimension. I love what we're getting from Jake Bowers. As much as like the Billy McKinney being Aaron Judge arc is exciting, the Jake Bowers stuff feels sustainable. I love that he's getting on base, even though he's not hitting for a super high average. I feel bad that he hit a ball 110 miles an hour today and it ended up being a double play. Shout out Anthony Rizzo. But that he was not his fault. Like, nobody could have gotten back to the base. I think that, as I said, Gleyber Torres has some headroom. I don't think he's really where his season is going to end up as of yet. I'm expecting improvements from DJ LeMahieu and Giancarlo Stanton. I think I've gotten reasons to be optimistic from the way that those guys have played. I'm going to go up 2-8 as well. I think especially with Hamilton coming back, with Rodon coming back shortly after, with the offense hopefully kind of starting to come together and show us a little bit more of its potential. I think there's a lot to be excited about with this team. And honestly, like, I have to start adjusting this to the league. Like, this is not, I feel like I was a little bit, at times getting into like the, how should I describe this? My confidence rating needs to be like OPS plus, right? It needs to be weighted by the average of the year. And, I think I was treating it a little bit like the league was behaving in a way that's different than it is this year. Like, as we just discussed, there are only three teams in the AL with more wins than the Yankees. There are, you know, the defending World Series champions are doing worse than the Yankees are. The team that had the best offseason of anyone and the best trade deadline last year is doing worse than the Yankees are. The Dodgers are doing basically as well as the Yankees. Like, I don't think I was giving the Yankees credit for the quality of the league relative to them. I was only rating them against how good I thought they should be. And I don't think that was fair. So I'm going to go up 2-8 as well. I'm excited to see what they do in Oakland and St. Louis. I am concerned that, you know, those could be letdowns, but I'm optimistic that they won't be. And I'm excited for our next podcast sometime around the 4th of July when hopefully we will be recapping another very good week. With that said, any parting shots from you?
Yeah, well, one shout out to the continuing ability of the Yankees to just rebound from getting swept at Fenway like it's no big deal, because we've seen it a few times in the last few years and they did it again. Like, I know, if I know anything, it's how the Yankees will play during and after Fenway sweeps. So at least give me credit for that. But my Absolutely. Real shout out is shout out Gerrit Cole, because like, even though he didn't pitch well today, he pitched really well and single-handedly won the Yankees a game this week and also became a meme. The Gerrit Cole finger wag is just my favorite meme of all time. It's sorry so good. To literally every other meme, but it's incredible. I love that man. He is going to pitch the Yankees into a World Series. I'm feeling it.
My grandma loves the Gerrit Cole finger wag as well. She thinks it's so great.
He's going to be finger wagging at the Tampa Bay Rays and Rangers from the opposing dugout in the ALCS as he pitches them to victory. Hot take. Bold prediction.
I love that. Well, Whipple, as I said, we'll be back same time, same place next week to recap what is hopefully another good week against Oakland and St. Louis. People can keep up with us at YankeesFiles.com. You can follow us on Twitter where we're at YankeesFiles. They can follow us on TikTok where we're at YankeesFilesPodcast. There's a good TikTok up there about the "if George were alive" refrain, which is a can of worms all its own. Again, I don't want to gloss over this from the middle of the podcast. If the Yankees want to pay us to shill for them, we will do it. They're not doing it right now, but we absolutely will do it. I don't think it would even be that expensive, and we'd be really good at it. So with that said, Yankees go on the road this week. We'll be back same time, same place next week to recap that trip. And until then, let's go Yankees.